I feel like we've had a sermon already with many of them. Now, one of the books I've enjoyed with my family over the past years is a very beautifully illustrated picture book about seeds called A Seed is Patient. And in that book, we marveled at the diversity of seeds, so many shapes, colors, and sizes. Did you know that 90% of all the plants on Earth are flowering plants? 90%. That means they flower and ultimately produce fruit of some kind and seeds of some kind. This is the reproductive cycle of most plants. Some seeds are incredibly small and grow into large plants, like the California redwood trees, or sequoias, whose seeds are as small as a freckle sheltered in a cone, but the redwood tree can grow to 250 feet tall. Fascinating. The very smallest seeds come from an orchid. Over 1 million seeds can be found in one orchid pod. The largest seed in the world is the seed of a coco de mer palm, a kind of coconut, and it's 61 pounds. Seeds go about their business of reproducing their parent plant in inventive ways. Some, like dandelion seeds or milkweed fluff, take the wind and they fly where they will. Others float on the currents of the ocean. Some, like burrs, depend on animals brushing past them to transfer them from one place to another. And many are tucked into enticing fruit or vegetables with the hope that someone or something will eat them, and after digesting them, plant them somewhere else to grow again with fertilizer. All seeds are hoping to find a place with sunlight, good soil, and water, and what they need to grow. Today's passage from John 15, this vine and the branches, talks about fruit and vines quite a bit. It's not a parable exactly, and it's not a metaphor. It's called a mishal, which is a common teaching tool in Jesus' day and in his culture. A mishal gives an image and its application to real life. So imagine Jesus walking around talking, seeing a vine, and he says, ah, teachable moment. I'm going to talk about the Christian life. So Jesus sees a vine, and he says, I am the vine, and you are the, and my Father is the vine grower. That's his first statement. I am the vine, and my Father is the vine grower. The Father is the one who prunes the vine, just like this. And we've had the gift today to see this done. It may not feel like a gift to the tree. I was pondering as we were watching this get pruned. It's not always feeling like a gift to be pruned. But what is the hope of the pruning? The hope of the pruning is fruitfulness, of a greater yield, I heard Mandy said, that there be abundant fruit. God prunes with the purpose of fruitfulness, that the vine might bear more fruit. I am the vine, and you are the branches, completes Jesus' image. The disciples who followed Jesus then, and all who would follow, including us, are branches on the one vine that is Jesus. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. The relationship between Jesus, the Father, and the beloved community of disciples is strongly linked by this connection of vine, vine grower, and branches that bear fruit. The key verb in this image is abide. Abide in me and I in you. Abide, in its Greek form meno, is not a common word in the Greek lexicon in general. It's not found in many writings. But John loves this word. He uses it abundantly. In this passage from John 5, he uses it 4 times in 8 verses. He uses it 40 times in the whole book. To abide is his form of saying to believe. Believe in Jesus. Abide in Jesus. To abide in its English form is this word with a really broad sort of meaning, and I'm not sure we use it that often either. We mostly use it when we're quoting John. It means to accept and act in accordance with, to comply or obey or follow or keep to, hold to, heed. It's a really active word, a combination of hearing and obeying. It's about faithfulness, and it also has overtones of waiting. Patient waiting, from the Old English biden, from which we get our word to bide our time. But it's also connected with the word abode, which means our dwelling place. Abiding is about actively following, it's about actively waiting, it's about making our home in and dwelling in, being rooted in the vine, in God. It's so much more active than this passive word remain or stay that we might use. To abide in Jesus, the vine, is about deriving your life force from Jesus. To obey and follow, to be persistently loyal and connected. It's to make your home in Jesus, to build your life from Jesus' teachings, and with echoes from Ephesians 3, to be rooted and grounded in God's love. And ultimately, to abide in Jesus is to live a life of fruitfulness, that the life that flows from Jesus through you bears fruit, fruit that will make an impact on others. Abide in me, says Jesus, as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Fruitfulness is another phrase that's strongly used in this passage. John uses the phrase bear fruit 6 times in 8 verses of John 5. The purpose of the fruit isn't for the vine itself. The fruit doesn't bear for the tree. The fruit is for others. The fruit is for the future. The fruit is to carry the seed to another place, which will take root and flourish and hopefully bear fruit again in its season. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Last weekend, I spent an intense time with members of our church's relearning community team, thinking about discipleship. Discipleship is not a word that's been given a lot of airtime, I think, in the last while, but it's worth revitalizing. Discipleship, or a life of following Jesus faithfully, has a lot to do with fruitfulness. The theme of Relearning Community is growing disciples who grow disciples. So as I was pondering this theme of trees, I thought, yeah, this is what discipleship is like. It's about staying connected to the vine, bearing fruit, fruit that can get planted, and grow another tree that can grow branches, that can grow fruit, which can get planted, that can grow branches. You understand the cyclical growing kind of nature of what we're looking towards when we think about discipleship, when we think about fruitfulness. Can we spark a renewed energy in us and in this church for this kind of fruitfulness, for this kind of growth and renewal, for nurturing lives of discipleship, of fruitfulness in our church and in our community, that others might be drawn in and grafted on and nourished to the vine that is God, and be able to live lives abiding in God's love as well and bearing fruit of their own? We often speak of the fruit of the Spirit in individual or inner terms. When we're rooted and grounded in love, when we abide in the vine, we bear good fruit. And we saw that today. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And these are good fruits. But we sell the church short and are not faithful to the vision of the vine if we keep our image of fruitfulness small. Our image of fruitfulness ought to include the idea that faithful lives of discipleship will bear fruit that is planted in others and grows and develops in them as well. Susan Hedahl comments that the church can be full of activity that does not bear fruit. It is no secret, she says, that one can be deeply engaged in things of the church in publicly meaningful ways, and yet these activities may not truly be connected to Christ. Sometimes our activities need pruning. Sometimes our priorities might need pruning. Jesus is the vine, God the Father is the vine grower, and we are the branches. The Father plants the vine and tends to the fruitfulness of the vine. The goal of is fruit and has been from the beginning. The goal is discipleship. This image of vine and branches and faithfulness is rooted in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, in Ezekiel. Isaiah 5 sings a love song and a lament for an unfruitful vineyard. It says, "Let me sing a song for my beloved, my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones, planted it with choice vines, and built a watchtower in the midst of it. He hewed a wine vat in it, and he expected it to yield grapes. But it yielded wild grapes. And so God says, judge between me and my vineyard. What was there more to do that I have not done in it? I expected it to yield grapes. Why did it yield wild grapes?" Isaiah continues in plain speech. God expected justice, good grapes, but he saw bloodshed, wild grapes. He expected righteousness and heard cries. And the rest of the Isaiah passage is fascinating, condemning unfaithful Israel, the unfaithful vine, for building houses instead of justice, for enjoying strong drink but not caring for the hungry, naming those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And Jesus has this kind of vine imagery in his mind when he speaks and draws his attention to the vine or the tree. And so did his listeners. They were grounded in this imagery of vine and grapes being an image of faithfulness or unfaithfulness, fruitfulness or unfruitfulness. And what about us? What resonance does this image of vine and branches or abiding in Jesus and Jesus abiding in us have with us today? Not many of us are even as knowledgeable as Peter Scheer. Not many among us grow grapes or fruit trees. We may tend roses, though, or grow corn and wheat and soybeans or tomatoes. Can we draw from our knowledge of how plants work, how fruit emerges, and how seeds function to expand our image of what it might mean to be in a mutual relationship with Jesus that might fit this image of abiding in Jesus and Jesus in us? And I invite you to close your eyes if you're comfortable and imagine. And if you want to move your arms out, you can, to get yourself in the space of being the branches of the vine. You got us started there, Paul. Can we imagine that we are the branches of the vine? Can we imagine the place where we are joined to the main vine? Can we imagine ourselves stretching from that anchor in the vine, stretching out to gain exposure to the sun? Our skin is strong and yet flexible. And within us, there are vessels, like blood vessels, drawing nutrients from the roots up, water and minerals from the soil to feed each leaf. And the nutrients from the sun flow back to the vine. The xylem and the phloem, the scientists call those two passages of flow. And each leaf in our whole vine benefits from that back and forth flow of energy and nutrients. And can we imagine that from us sprout buds and then flowers? And the flowers develop into fruits, which in time develops into sumptuous, rich, and delicious grapes. Can we feel that we are a vessel of fruitfulness, and that our connection to the vine makes possible an abundance of fruit? We are connected to the whole vine. We are connected to the roots. We are connected to the other branches of the same vine. We are one living organism. That's the end of that reflection. I've often pondered the image of church as body, or the rich metaphor of Paul from 2 Corinthians 12. But this image of the church as a vine is also fruitful to ponder. We're called to unity, to oneness, to maintaining this flow of connection between God the Father and with one another in a way that's sustainable and fruitful in the long haul. I'm struck by the two-way flow of mutual abiding that Jesus insists on in John 15. We abide in Jesus, and Jesus abides in us. As the Father has loved me, so I love you. Abide in my love. It's a two-way flow. Remember what abiding means? That persistent and committed loyalty of heart and action. We are called to that kind of abiding in Jesus, and so also Jesus, and with Jesus, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit, abide in us and are called to that, have called themselves to that kind of faithfulness and commitment to us. As it states elsewhere in Scripture, God is faithful, showing love from generation to generation of those who seek him. God abides with us and calls us to abide in God. And abiding goes against the flow of so many dominant themes of our culture. We live in transient times. We value independence and individualism. But the vine and branches calls us to God values, which differ from these. God values interrelatedness, deep and mutual dependency. God values lives lived not for our own nourishment alone, but for the nourishment and benefit of others. Abiding takes commitment, rootedness, tending, and nurturing. Abiding takes community. Abiding takes risk, patience, and curiosity about the ways of God in this time, in this place, and among these people. I pray for that kind of life among us, life that is interested in fruitfulness. Fruitfulness not for our own sake, but that nourishes and takes root in others. Fruitfulness that might claim the name discipleship. As Jesus says, "My Father is glorified by this, that you would bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I love you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Let us abide, therefore, in the vine as Jesus abides in us. And may we bear fruit, fruit that will last." And all God's people say, Amen.